Let me just use one more example. Inglespodcast.com is famous for helping people all over the world grow their grammar, vocalize their vocabulary, and perfect their pronunciation. It's famous for it. Hello, and you're very welcome to the latest episode of
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. My name's Craig.
And I'm Reza. And this is episode 115. If you're a new listener to this award-winning podcast, welcome. Craig and I have over 40 years of teaching experience between us, although we don't look that old. And we'll help you improve your English and take it to the next level.
Oh, yes. We're going to grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and perfect your pronunciation. And in this episode, we're going to help you revise and practice prepositions that are commonly found after some popular adjectives. Now, we started speaking about prepositions last episode, verbs plus prepositions. So this week, we're speaking about adjectives plus prepositions. But before that, I think we have some feedback, Reza.
Yes, we have some feedback from Gabby from Peru. Let's listen to Gabby.
Gabby's an English teacher working with accountants in Peru. So here's Gabby's voice message.
Hello, Reza and Greg. It's Gabby from Peru. I've been listening to your amazing podcast for like 5 months already. Well, I'm an English teacher here, and nowadays I'm working with three accountants. So I would love you guys to give me some help with the most useful expressions and the right way to use them for them, you know? Anyway, I love teaching English, especially if my age group is adults. And would you please make it clear between these two questions, what is somebody like and how or what do you look like? Thanks a bunch, and I'll be sending you more message in near future. I love you guys. Big kiss from Peru. Bye.
Thanks, Gabby. That was wonderful to hear from you. What fantastic pronunciation.
Yeah, amazing, Gabby. Well done.
Gabby, we did speak about money verbs in episode 24, which might help your accountancy students. So if you go to inglespodcast.com/24, you'll find some money verbs. And we also spoke about money vocabulary and the economy in episode 46. So that's inglespodcast.com/46. But Gabby did ask a question about the difference with like, didn't she, Reza? What does she like and what is she like?
Yes, we also did an episode on like, what are you like and what do you like, and also as in episode 44. Though, Gabby, you said something which I think was wrong. You said how is he like? That doesn't exist. It's what is he like? So how is he? All right. Or what is he like? So go to episode 44 and you can get more information on that there.
So that's inglespodcast.com/44. And remember, there is a search box on the website. So if you're searching for a particular item of vocabulary or area of vocabulary, like money, for example, or work or home or sports, just type in the word in the search box and you'll see the episodes in which we speak about particular grammar and vocabulary. And what might be interesting for your students, Gabby, in episode 117, which I think is in 2 weeks' time. Yes, this is 115. 116 is next week. So in episode 117, we are going to speak about describing trends in English, which for accountants is quite interesting when you're speaking about the economy and the different rising and falling fluctuation of currency, etc. So that I hope that will be helpful for you. And if there's something that something particular, Gabby, that you'd like us to speak about in the future, then please send us another message and tell us, and we'll try to put together a podcast about it. I liked your expression, thanks a bunch. That was very nice. So thanks a bunch to you, Gabby. We love you too, and thank you very much for your voice message.
Okay, Craig, shall we crack on with today's episode?
Moving on.
Well, we said last week that a dependent preposition is a preposition that always follows the same expression. For example, we said last week, interested in. We don't say interested plus on or about. But last week, we talked about verbs plus prepositions. This week, we're going to talk about adjectives plus prepositions. So what we've done is, like last time, we've divided it up into groups of the most common prepositions. For example, we'll start with at. Craig, can you think of any typical adjectives which go with the preposition at?
Well, there's obviously good at and bad at. That's very common. For example, I'm quite bad at sports. I'm quite bad at tennis. I'm bad at other sports.
You're good at podcasting, though.
Thank you very much. And you're very good at podcasting, too. And you're good at playing the violin.
I'm not sure about that.
And you're good at French.
What adjective would you use for am I good at, would you agree with the adjective good at timekeeping?
I wouldn't say that. No. I would say you're punctual. Yeah.
Yes. I'm not the best at timekeeping.
In fact, I'd say you were awful at timekeeping.
Yes.
So awful is more extreme than bad. It's an extreme adjective, and the positive extreme adjective for good is fantastic. So you can be fantastic at something, or you can be awful at something.
Craig, if I were to say to you the sentence, my girlfriend's mad at me for forgetting her birthday, could you tell me a synonym for mad, another word which means the same?
I would say angry, and I think mad is more in American English usage. Say, I'm really mad at you, man. Mm-hmm. Really mad at you means I'm really angry at you. I think angry is more British English usage. Do you agree?
Yeah. So mad or angry plus at.
So we have good at something, bad at, fantastic and awful at something, and mad at someone or angry at someone.
Let's move on to about, which is a common preposition which goes with adjectives. For example, Craig, let me ask you, is there anything you're excited about at the moment?
I'm excited about doing the next podcast. I'm always excited about recording podcasts.
Me too.
Which is a bit strange, perhaps, but I enjoy doing it very much. I'm excited about editing this podcast we're doing now. Where are we? Today's Sunday. So I'm excited about next week, because next week I'm doing some different things. There's no teaching at the moment, so my work is very different and diverse. I'm excited about going on Blab next week and speaking to Bea and Mumin. Sometimes we get online with some other students and we speak online. If you're interested in joining us, go to inglespodcast.com/blab. And for free, we can get on the internet and speak for an hour, usually Thursdays at 8 o'clock Central European time. So we'd love to have you join us if you want to practice your English.
And Craig, is there anything you're sorry about?
Is there anything I'm sorry about? Ooh, that's put me on the spot. I can't think of anything. I could give you just an example. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry about making you a bad cup of coffee. Can you think of a better example?
I'm sorry about not studying more when I was at school. It's too late now.
Yeah, I am too, actually. Now that you mention it, I'm sorry about not staying longer in education. But I'm not sorry about the travelling I did. I'm really pleased and happy with the traveling. So you could also say sorry for, can't you? You can say sorry about something or sorry for something.
Like I'm sorry about or I'm sorry for always arriving late at Craig's house. Sorry about or for.
What about crazy about or mad about, which means you could like something very, very much. For example, I'm crazy about chocolate. That's my favorite food. Is there any particular food or drink you're crazy about?
Me? I'm crazy about cool beer in the summer. In the winter, not so much, but I am mad about a good cold beer in the summer, I must say.
So your drink of choice in July in Valencia, is it a beer when you go out? No wine for you or any other spirits?
Occasionally a white wine, but beer seems to hit the spot.
What does hit the spot mean?
It does what you want it to do. I'm mad about a nice cold beer in the summer. Now, a minute ago, we mentioned mad at someone. For example, my girlfriend's mad at me for forgetting her birthday. But mad about is not the same. Different preposition, different meaning. If you're mad about something, crazy about something, that means you love it. And if you're mad at someone, that means you're angry at someone. So different preposition, different meaning.
Good point. So you're mad at a person, but you're mad about something. So you could be mad about skiing, which means you really, really like it. Another adjective that goes with about is happy. So you can be happy about something, or the opposite, unhappy about something. For example, she wasn't very happy about her exam result. Is there anything you're happy or particularly unhappy about at the moment?
Well, as I said, I think in the last episode, I am particularly happy about my exam result.
Your French exam, yeah.
I wasn't sure if I'd pass, and I did. Mm-hmm. So I'm rather happy about that.
So I assume, I guess, you're really enthusiastic about continuing with French after the summer.
Mais oui, you're right.
Bien sûr.
I am going to continue.
When do your lessons start again?
October.
Mm-hmm.
October.
So you have a break to rest. Down,
but I'm very enthusiastic about getting back in October to restart.
How was the listening? Because you were a bit concerned about the listening part.
That was my lowest mark, but it was still a pass. Mm-hmm. And I was quite pleased I got a high mark in writing.
Good.
And my speaking was okay. The listening, isn't that ironic? Here I am recording a podcast and my listening was low. You know why?
I know why.
Yep. Tell them, you do know why.
You don't listen to any French podcasts.
I know. I don't listen to podcasts in French. And look, I got a bad result. Craig warned me. He said, you must listen to more podcasts. And I didn't. I was that busy making my own English podcast. And as a result, I got a bad French listening mark.
Actually, I started to listen to a couple of podcasts in Spanish about podcasting. I'm really enjoying them. And at first it was not very comfortable. And I understand, now I'm listening to Spanish podcasts, I understand the frustration of our students listening to podcasts in English. Because after a few minutes, I disconnected and I stopped listening. Yeah. My mind just wandered and went away. And I had to keep concentrating on the Spanish and coming back to the podcast. But that now with some practice, it's getting a lot better. And I'm concentrating for longer time. So I sympathize with you when you listen to English podcasts. But if you do it very, very quickly, you'll find you're improving your listening, which is what I suggest Razor do during the summer.
Yeah, we could say the saying in English, do as I say, not as I do. In other words, I keep telling you listeners to listen to podcasts and then I don't listen to them myself for French. And look what happens. I get a bad result. Do as I say, not as I do.
I've got three words to say to you.
Told you so?
Nope. Coffee break French.
That's right.
Coffee break French by Mark Pendleton. Very good podcaster. He will improve your French for you.
I will.
let's look at one more preposition, in. So interested in, which was the example we gave at the beginning of the podcast. What's the opposite of interested?
Would be uninterested.
Same preposition, uninterested in. So what are you interested in at the moment?
Music. I'm practicing with a group. We're going to play a mixture of music from all over the world in different languages. That's what I'm interested in at the moment.
That sounds interesting.
Craig, can you think of any very, very famous person who was very successful in business?
Bill Gates was very successful in business with Microsoft. Steve Jobs was extremely successful in business with Apple. Can you think of any?
Well, they're the two most obvious ones that come to mind. I guess Henry Ford back in the day was very successful in the car industry. So you can be successful in something. Another adjective which goes within is deficient. For example, Peter's poor diet is deficient in vitamins. Deficient in vitamins. That means it hasn't got enough.
Does it mean falta?
Yeah, falta. Mm-hmm. What about of, Craig?
Of. Be careful of, it's O-F, not O-double-F. There is a difference in pronunciation with those two prepositions. When there's a double F, O-double-F, off, there's no vibration in the throat. It's not voice, not in a voz con vibración. And of, with one F, is like a V sound. So listen to the difference. Off. Of, off, of. So with the preposition of, one F, we could use sick, for example, sick of, or tired of. Can you think of an example with either of those?
Yes. Craig's getting a bit tired of Reza's old jokes.
Oh, no, that's not true. I think the old jokes are the best jokes.
He's getting a bit tired or a bit sick of my old jokes.
So sick of or tired of something. We could also have proud of, orgulloso. So is there anything you can think of, Reza, in your life that you're proud of doing?
I'm going to ask you in French. I'm going to say, c'est vraiment nécessaire, répondez. Can't you guess the answer?
I think you're proud of
passing my French.
Passing your
B1,
French,
that's for
what,
example.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. You're very proud, because I've mentioned it now about 20,000 times, haven't I?
And you should be. Yeah. You should be proud of your result. Afraid and frightened are quite similar, aren't they? Similar adjectives.
Mm. Craig, are you afraid of the big bad wolf?
No, I'm afraid of spiders.
Oh, yes, I remember your story about spiders. Yeah. You told me about an upsetting story you had when you were a child, yeah? And it kind of traumatized you a bit.
I'm afraid of spiders. Is there anything you're afraid of?
I don't like broken glass.
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't say I have a phobia of it, but I don't really like handling broken glass. It bothers me a lot.
Can you remember when you were young if you ever cut yourself with glass that was broken?
I once was in a car, and it was summer, and it was unusually hot for Ireland, very hot for Ireland. And of all the days, I chose not to wear a T-shirt in the car. And the wing mirror, el espejo, the side of the car, hit another car passing it and got smashed. And I didn't really think anything of it. But what I hadn't realized was that a lot of the glass had smashed into tiny, tiny pieces and became embedded in my chest.
Really?
Yeah. And later my chest started to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably ever since then I've kind of not been keen on broken, because I had broken glass in my chest then for a few days, and it slowly kind of came out. And that really gave me a bit of a thing about broken glass.
That makes sense. I think if something happens to you when you're younger, it maybe doesn't give you a phobia, but it makes you afraid of something. Definitely makes an impression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Craig, what about more with of? Do you think it's typical of anyone you know to cancel at the last minute?
Typical of anyone? Well, John sometimes cancels at the last minute. There'll be our friend John. Sometimes he'll phone and say, I'm sorry, I can't make it. So that could be quite typical of him.
Typical of him. Uh-huh.
How do you say typical of in Spanish?
It's typical de, I think, yeah.
So it's the same.
So that one's fairly easy to translate, yeah?
Oh, that's just typical of my sister. She's always complaining about my music.
Craig, can you tell the listeners something that both you and I are very fond of?
Fond of is similar to keen on, cuando te gusta. So fond of. Well, we're fond of making podcasts. We're fond of Dulce de Leche. Mm-hmm. We're fond of Mickey Mouse. And what are the things that we're fond of? We're fond of traveling.
Yeah. And
we're fond of our wonderful audience of listeners.
Yeah. We're fond of quite a lot of things, actually.
Guilty, culpable. That's another adjective that goes with of. For example, the suspect was found guilty of murder. Guilty of stealing, guilty of rape, guilty of burglary. So you're guilty of doing something.
Craig, have you ever been guilty of eating something you shouldn't have? And did it contain cocoa powder?
I often start different diets and try to do a more exercise and lose weight. And I'm usually guilty of breaking the diet 1 week or 10 days after I start it. So I make a New Year's resolution on January the 1st. And on January the 11th, I'm guilty of breaking my resolution. That's quite common.
Chocolate normally plays a part in it, doesn't
it? I've got a sweet tooth. How do you say sweet tooth in Spanish?
Goloso. You're goloso. He has a sweet tooth. He is goloso.
I'm very goloso. I'm a goloso kind of person. Let's move on to with. I think there were one or two adjectives that we can use with. Any ideas? Mm-hmm.
Pleased or the opposite, displeased. For example, the headmaster was pleased with the new student's progress. Or satisfied. I am extremely dissatisfied. That's the opposite of satisfied. I am extremely dissatisfied with the poor service in this restaurant.
I'm very satisfied with the way our podcast is growing.
Mm-hmm, me too. What about another one, Craig, using with?
We could say disgusted with. So, for example, she was disgusted with her new friend's bad table manners.
There's a joke about British culture that reminds me of, which says, this is very apt after the vote on the Brexit.
What does apt mean?
Very apt is
appropriate.
Appropriate, yeah, very appropriate.
Suitable.
After the United Kingdom having a referendum to leave the European Union, Britain has never 100% seemed totally European. Here's the joke. The Europeans have good food. The British have good table manners.
So that means they don't have good food.
But they do have good table manners.
But they're very polite.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Please pass the salt.
Those of you who aren't familiar with Valencia, let me tell you, Valencia is crowded with people during the busy Fallas festival. It's crowded with people.
And so is the beach at the moment, because as I mentioned before, we live near the beach. So at the moment, the beach is crowded with people enjoying the sun and the sand and the beautiful weather in Valencia in July. Crowded with people.
And one more, perhaps with, that sounds weird, doesn't it? Apart from my new French qualification, I mention it again, I'm very content with these new shoes I've got. I'm happy with them. I'm pleased with them. I'm content with them.
Have you got new shoes? I haven't seen them.
Yes, I'm not wearing them at the moment.
Okay.
But they're at home.
What kind are they? What can you describe them? Are they for sport or are they just to wear every day?
Yes,
work?
They're sport shoes, but I'd rather not say the name of the company unless they want to give me lots of money. So let's just say they're sport shoes.
Okay.
Since they're not giving me any money, I won't mention the name.
And you're content with them. You're happy with them.
I am. I'm pleased with them. I'm satisfied with them.
I'll tell you something else I'm very content with. I'm very content with our sponsors, iTalki, who have been sponsoring us from pretty much the beginning. They've been sponsoring us now for nearly 2 years.
Yes. And unlike the makers of my sports shoes, I'm happy to talk about iTalki.
What makes you happy about our sponsors, Reza?
Well,
that's different from your shoes.
Well, iTalki, apart from very kindly sponsoring us, I can tell you that as someone who's used the website, it really works. iTalki is an online website that gets you in touch with teachers of English, or in fact, any language you like. And obviously, it's very convenient because you can do it from home. You look at a teacher's profile or experience, compare them to other teachers, see how much they charge, and choose the teacher you want with the timetable that you want. And it's very easy. All you need is Skype, find a teacher, and get cracking. In fact, if you join through the EnglishPodcast.com website, iTalki will give you 100 free credits to get started, which should be enough to buy you your first lesson. So for convenience and for professionalism and for sheer variety, we very happily recommend iTalki.
And it doesn't matter what shoes you're wearing. We want to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. So let's look at the preposition to. Reza, can you think of any adjectives that could go with preposition to?
Indeed, the EU, the European Union, may have to get used to the British no longer being a member soon.
So that's used to get used to, acostumbrarse.
Mm-hmm. So that's preposition to. It's not infinitive to. So used to is one thing, but to be or to get used to is another thing. To be used to is estar acostumbrado, and to get used to is acostumbrarse. Used to is solía, totally different.
And we spoke about that, I think, in the very first episode, but I'll put a link in the show notes if you go to englespodcast.com/115. I'll put a link to that episode with used to if you want to do some revision. I think it was episode one, our very first podcast.
And Craig, do you think the other European Union country members will get used to life without the British soon?
I don't think it will be a big adjustment for them. I mean, Britain didn't go into the European single currency. They kept the pound. So I don't think many things are going to change in the long run.
We haven't got time in this podcast, but when it ends, I wouldn't mind asking you what your parents think about the Brexit. But we'll maybe do that after the podcast. Craig's parents live in Spain, by the way.
How long have you got? Don't get me started. Yeah. We could say sensitive to. Sensitive in English, in Spanish, is sensible. So my parents are quite sensitive to criticism over Brexit, I could say. You should try to be sensitive to your girlfriend's or boyfriend's needs, or your wife or husband's needs is another use of sensitive to.
One more with to is similar. For example, Bob writes in a similar way to me. So he's similar to me.
Or I could say my shirt is similar to yours.
Right. What about from? Let's think of an adjective which goes with from.
Different from?
Got any examples?
Spain's climate is very different from the UK. Canada's climate is very different from Bolivia's, for example.
Mm-hmm. So different from. I think it's a typical Spanish mistake to say different plus two. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard that a lot. I've heard it so much that it begins to sound right.
Yeah, I know.
I think it is wrong technically, but I've just heard it so much now.
But I'm sure if you Googled in English different to, you would find uses on the internet of different to.
Yeah.
A good way to check prepositions, if you're not sure, is to write the adjective, verb, or noun with a preposition in quotation marks, in inverted commas, and then Google it and compare the results. For example, if you Googled different to, and then Googled different from would have more results. So it's probably the more correct preposition to use.
And another thing, when you Google, though, it's very important to Google in English Google, not Spanish Google.
Mm-hmm.
Because very often with Spanish Google, they think the wrong thing is right. So Google it under google.com. in English or google.co.uk. Don't use Spanish Google because it accepts the wrong thing.
Because Spanish Google is different from English Google. Can you think of any other adjectives that take from that are common?
Yes, to use a topical example of these days, the refugees went far away to be safe from the war. Safe from.
Safe from something, yeah. Okay, let's look at for now. So an adjective that likes to go with for is famous.
What's Scotland famous for?
Scotland's famous for beautiful scenery, the beautiful highlands. Scotland is famous for whiskey. Scotland is famous for...
men who wear skirts called kilts, yeah, as well.
Scotland is famous for Edinburgh and the famous Edinburgh Festival.
And for its capacity to drink alcohol, as is Ireland.
Isn't Scotland famous for fried food?
Yeah, like frying Mars bars and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, frying everything.
Yeah. What is Spain famous for?
From an outside perspective, I would say for people not living in Spain, Spain is famous for Sevillanas, for dancing flamenco, for paella. Spain is famous for holiday resorts on the Costa del Sol, on the Costa Blanca. Spain is famous for bullfighting. I think that's another stereotypical classification of Spain. It's famous for football. Any other thing I've forgotten? What other things is Spain famous for?
No, I think you've pretty much covered everything.
Obviously, the Barcelona, the cultural cities, Gaudí, and the museums in Madrid, those kind of things.
Let me just use one more example. Inglespodcast.com is famous for helping people all over the world grow their grammar, vocalize their vocabulary, and perfect their pronunciation. It's famous for it.
And it's convenient for students to learn English. That's another collocation, to be something that's convenient for you. For example, it's very convenient for you to have our podcasts in your pocket. It's very convenient for you to listen to us in your car and improve your English. It's very convenient for you to listen while you're walking the dog or cleaning your flat.
Or another example, the number 23 bus is very convenient for getting to the shopping centre. I say getting, that's the ing form of the verb get, because as we said, after a preposition, remember, verbs are always ing form.
And convenient is often confused with comfortable. And I think we've spoken about that before, because cómodo, I think, in Spanish could be convenient or could be comfortable. A chair and a bed is very comfortable, but convenient could be, for example, a time that you go to a Spanish lesson. It's convenient for you to go on Fridays, for example. Right. It's not comfortable.
Yeah.
Comfortable is more physical comfort.
That's a typical false friend, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What about on? What adjectives can you think of with on? We already had keen on, which is similar to fond of. For example, we're rather keen on dulce de leche means we're rather fond of dulce de leche. Can you think of any others with on?
There's intent on. For example, the terrorist in France recently was sadly intent on causing destruction. He was intent on murdering as many innocent people as possible. To be intent on doing something. Tener intención. And now it's your turn to practice your English. Do you have a question for us, for Ezra and I? Do you have an idea, perhaps, for a future episode? Next week, we're going to speak more about prepositions, dependent prepositions, in particular nouns followed by a preposition. So please join us next week. And if you'd like to send us a message in the meantime, you can send us a voice message at speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast. That's SPEAKPIPE. ape.com/inglespodcast. If you prefer to send us an email, you can send an email to me, craig@inglespodcast.com.
Or send one to me, reza@belfastreza@gmail.com.
And if you'd like more detailed show notes, you're welcome to join and subscribe to our Patreon program at patreon.com/inglespodcast, where you can donate $1 per month. And when we reach our target of $100, we will be distributing show notes that are complete transcriptions of everything we say. And Reza would like to thank our 11 wonderful sponsors, who are...
Thanks to Lara, Zara, Mamin, Juan, Sara, Corey Finneran from IVNB, Jorge, Raul, Rafael, Daniel, and Manuel.
Thank you, guys and girls. And until next week, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Thank you for listening. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.
Hello, and you're very welcome to...
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. My name's Craig.
Sorry, I'm off that up a bit.